Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Oh, they are so good. Oh, man, was that so good. If you missed it, Doug and Donna just performed for the last hour for our entertainment, and they came in and Doug and Donna performed the Overnight America theme song. Oh, did they just nail it?
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people and I'm feeling all right. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
Woo! Oh, man! That is some good theme songing. So big thanks to Doug and Donna. We're going to post the information if you want to reach out to them. Maybe you have an event or something coming up. Just email Doug. Let them know about it. See if they can help you out with that because they are just so awesome. Oh, I can't get over it. That's so exciting. You know, since we're talking about music, maybe we just continue to talk about music. You know, a lot of stations, they're already turning into Christmas mode. Have you turned over to our sister station, KEZK? They're doing the Christmas music right now. Here's Kevin Kline's whole nother story.
When you walk into the studio of KZK, it is already Christmas. There's a tree with blinking lights and a woman in a red coat.
Baby.
It's Trish Gazelle. She's behind the microphone and playing Christmas song after Christmas song. From now until Christmas.
Yep, I have my red coat on. I had a Santa hat on earlier. I'm all in the Christmas spirit.
Did you reach over to the far side of your closet and say, here we go again, give me that damned red coat?
I did. I probably haven't. I wear the same red coat every year and probably don't wear it, you know, in between. So,
how do you cope this early in the season?
Well, here's a funny thing that happens, and I'll answer the coping question in a sec. But November 1st. People start sending me messages, emails, phone calls in the studio. When are you going to start playing Christmas music? And I mean, I get tons of them every day. Then we flip the switch. We start playing Christmas music. And now I'm getting, why are you playing Christmas music? Why are you playing Christmas music? And I just, you can't win.
But does it make you more cheerful or cranky?
I would say the first 2 or 3 weeks, cheerful. In the middle, I start getting really grouchy. And at the end of it, I'm like, okay, the end is near.
And you get cheerful again?
Yeah, then I get cheerful again.
All right, well, people can tune in. It's around the clock.
Oh, yeah, 24/7 Christmas music right up until Christmas at midnight. And, of course, if you would like to stream it, you can do that. All of our stations, including KMOX and KZK, through radio.com.
As the Borg once said, resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Good old whole nother story. Kevin Killeen talking Christmas music. You know, a lot of homes already started to convert to the Christmas music side. My commentary for this week, which I believe airs on Total Information AM, sometimes Total Information PM, but my commentary this week was about putting the Christmas tree up. I was already belly aching about how last week we had to do it, and I say had to. I think I feel like I had no option. My wife kind of forced the hand that I had to put the thing up. So there we are, putting the tree up, putting the lights up, at least on the inside of the house. I don't decorate with lights on the outside of the house. But either way, when the Christmas music starts, you're done. I'm sorry. I mean, there's no way to turn back. there's going to be that, oh, it just feels right. Look, they're playing Christmas music on KEZK. That means, oh, it's officially the holidays. Oh, that means we can put up the tree, right? That means we can put up the reindeers in the front yard, right? Oh, that means the inflatable Santa Claus is going to go up. That's what happens. That's what happens. It's a real chicken and egg situation. What comes first, the Christmas music or the decorations? And a lot of times, it's one after the other. It doesn't matter which one comes first. One triggers the other. And as soon as one starts playing, you're gone. You're done. Kevin Kling did a great job with the whole nother story. So they've been playing that since the end of last week. Yeah, we're getting some feedback. And I would have to tell you that, yes, I've tuned in the car. Just because I know my wife really enjoys to do it, too. So we're at the Christmas season time. Jeff, by the way, on Twitter messaged me, and he already sent photos. We used today's mild weather to get the hard part of the Christmas lights up. And he sent a picture of his house with the Christmas lights up on the house, which is very nice. And he's already messaged me to tell me that when are we going to start playing Christmas music on Overnight America? You know, the bumper music that we play going in and out of the segments. When are we going to start with the Christmas music already? I didn't know anyone requested that. I just thought people assumed it would just happen at some point, and whenever it happens, it happens, but they're not out there trying to prime the pump, get it on. I'm kind of surprised. So I don't know when that's going to happen. Probably December 1st or something when we get a little bit closer to it. There was a story out in Denver. There's a radio host by the name of Craig Silverman, KNUS Radio. He was taken off the air this past weekend abruptly. Well, what led to it and why? We're going to talk to, we're not going to talk to anyone. We're going to play a segment from CNN. He actually went on to Brian Stetler's program, and I'm going to play a portion of it of why he thinks he was kicked off the air. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
St. Louis's Morning News, Total Information AM, weekday mornings at 5 on KMOX and KMOX.com.
Wow, they are just fantastic, Doug and Donna, aren't they? Fantastic. Oh, man. Just pumped up all the way around after that last hour. I'm walking on sunshine. That's what I am. And if you missed it, we're going to post that at KMOX.com/ONA. Or better yet, subscribe to the Overnight America podcast so you don't miss anything. Wouldn't that be a shame if you missed that hour and you had no idea it existed, but you thought, oh, I really enjoyed it. I wish I never miss another moment ever again. I know you're just thinking to that. Right now, you're thinking in your mind, I want to make sure I get all those great moments. Well, great solution for you. Go subscribe to the KMOX Overnight America podcast. I wanted to, again, thank Doug and Donna. I'm sure they're driving home right now and listening in the radio, and they were just fantastic, absolutely fantastic. There was a radio story in the news from this past weekend in the Denver Post. Here's the headline. KNUS radio host Craig Silverman says he was taken off air mid-show after criticizing President Trump. He is someone that was a former district attorney in Denver. He does a talk show on conservative 710 AM, KNUS. And he said he was fired mid-show for criticizing President Trump. In the middle of the segment, he said, Roy Cohn, Trump's former personal attorney, was talking about him when suddenly network news went in. Silverman's producer threw his hands up in the air. He didn't understand what was going on. And program director Kelly Michaels came through the door. He said, you're done, Silverman recounted Michaels saying. He hosted the Craig Silverman Show. It was a three-hour show on Saturdays mornings for the past 5 years. And then, boom, over. You hear about these things. I mean, it's pretty rare. But in radio, there are stories that go around the radio circles of people getting fired mid-show. And in an instant like this, so if you have a talk show host that says something against President Trump and they don't like the content of what's going on, that's really not a good move by the radio station. It's not a good move by that program director to come in and end it mid-show. I mean, if you have an exception with the content of the show, and certainly you don't want your radio station associated with that sort of content. And I'm not saying that anti-Trump is bad content. What I'm saying is, like, in instances that I remember in the past a radio show might be doing something that could get them in trouble with the FCC. They could be saying things that are profane, or they might be airing things that are against the, you know, the core values of the radio station. Again, it's probably something that's pretty blue humor or potty mouth or, you know, sexual in nature, very across the line. A lot of times it's shock jocks that this happens to. You know, there's people that say things that they shouldn't say on air, as in personal information. They may be saying things that would be constitute like, you know, verbally, you know, defamation, assault, you know, things that would be threatening towards another person. Sometimes radio personalities go a little bit overboard and they forget that they do have things that they can and cannot do on air, but they are personalities. They're told to push the line, so that sometimes they push it a little bit too far. Honestly, I don't know what this guy could have been saying that would warrant him to get kicked off the air immediately. And you know what's something else that's really strange about all of this? The strange thing is the program director was there on a Saturday morning at like 9 or 10 in the morning. That's a rare thing too anymore. You don't see radio station program directors there on the weekends working into this, unless it was predetermined he was going to be doing that that morning. You know, that's a weird thing too. So the radio personality, the Craig Silverman show, Craig Silverman, was on CNN and was talking about it. I had a clip from CNN. Where was it? Oh, where'd it go? Okay, here it is. He was on Reliable Sources.
Says he was cut off for criticizing President Trump. And we know that Salem Media has pressured some other radio hosts to toe a pro-Trump line. That's been the direction of the business. So let's talk about what's going on in right-wing radio and what happens when you try to dissent. Craig Silverman's with me now from...
So, okay, let's back up here for a second. Let's talk about right-wing radio and what happens when you try to dissent. So that's how they try to market this sort of thing. You know, he's trying to make it sound like all radio stations are like that. All of a sudden, Brian Stelter, I always say his name wrong. All of a sudden, he's trying to make it sound like every radio station that has some sort of conservative talk on it has the directive by corporate that they must praise Trump. And he sounds like some of the listeners we get into this radio. There's people that call in to the radio show, and there's people that will listen to the show and they'll disagree with the things I say and they don't agree with my politics, which is certainly fine. And I openly want those people to call in and discuss the things they take exceptions to. Those are people I'm fine with. There's certain people that call in and they get very upset. And they'll say, this Donald Trump radio. And, you know, you guys are paid by the Republican Party and Donald Trump. So they'll say things like that without realizing all of the other programming we have on this radio station. As if every morning we get together and we get onto a conference call. Okay, let's see. Rush Limbaugh leads us in everything we say on right-wing crazy radio. So what does Rush want us to say today? Okay, let's get our marching orders and let's go on. People have that sort of impression with radio personalities that happen to be conservative because, let's be honest, the only good radio personalities are the conservative ones. The ones that are on radio anymore, I don't even know if I can name a popular left-wing radio host that actually is doing a show that actually has listeners. Honestly, it's so rare in this industry to be on over-the-air radio. Most of the people that have been like that, you know, they might go to satellite radio, they might have a podcast, but certainly you don't see them having any longevity in the actually over-air radio. So we get to the point where people have this certain impression. They try to push the impression, and there's CNN, boom, trying to play into the impression too. That doesn't surprise me.
Craig Silverman's with me now from Denver. Craig, so you were cut off, you believe, because you were criticizing the president?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. I wrote a column expressing frustration about the things you were just speaking about. The unwillingness or inability of, well, about my colleagues would not address this impeachment hearing. They would not address the facts. And I wanted to do that. 3 hours every Saturday, I was covering the case.
Oh, so here's the thing. I went online to go to the guy's Twitter page to see what was he talking about at the time. And he is trying to, not formally, but informally petition the radio station. Post the show so everyone could hear it. I want them to hear what I have to say, and then they can judge for themselves if I should have been kicked off the air. I didn't catch this the first time I listened to the interview, but after listening to Craig Silverman, the way he makes it sound like What if he went on air and he just bashed all of the different personalities on that radio station? What if it wasn't so much criticism of President Trump, but what if he went on there and just laid into all of his coworkers? Now, that's bad form. I would love to listen to the show now. Here, let me listen to this interview again. Maybe that's what he did.
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. I wrote a column expressing frustration about the things you were just speaking about. The unwillingness or inability of, well, about my colleagues would not address this impeachment hearing. They would not address the facts. And I wanted to do that. 3 hours every Saturday, I was covering the case. I had other media opportunities. I'm an independent contractor with Salem. And I took those. They were frustrated about that. I was frustrated that we couldn't talk about the facts of the impeachment case. And it all came to a head as I was excoriating Donald Trump on my show yesterday.
Okay. He sounds like an exhausted Mark Levin. That's on the left. Well, maybe it's a couple of things. This is just my guess, my impression of what may be going on here. So he may have contributed to other news sources or other commentary sources. And part of that, maybe the program director didn't like that one of his weekend personalities were doing things for other stations. I guess maybe he went on and said some pretty things in poor taste when he didn't like what his other colleagues at the radio station were saying. So maybe he addressed other people personally and that may have upset the program director. That could have been a thing. I don't know. Or maybe they just didn't like what he had to say. I got to believe that he didn't just all of a sudden flip a switch and this weekend he changed his entire outlook of the world. So this was a surprise to anyone. I'm sure he's been free to talk about the things he wanted to in the past. This is a really tough one to gauge because they're not releasing the show. So we have no idea what he actually said at the time that the show got cut off. That's really fascinating. John, who's calling in. Hi.
Yeah, how you doing there? Yeah, I mean, hey, Ryan Rinder, you know, a lot of these stations, so-called conservative stations, are, you know, they're owned sort of like by just a few, you know, like Salem or Sinclair Broadcasting. You know, they're just trying to buy all these stations and convert them to a, you know, so-called conservative talk show. And then, you know, they're just trying to squeeze as much money out of it. But I'm just saying, as far as, do you think this was a case because they're afraid of losing advertisement or pressure from the Trump not backing them up? That's why this commentator was released. And don't forget, this was a conservative commentator, not a liberal. So The people that turned against him were their own base. The conservatives, I guess they didn't like him criticizing Trump. But I'm just saying, do you think it's a combination effect that these owners of stations, you know, TV, radio, whatever, are afraid of Trump, you know, criticizing them, and they're afraid? Is that the reason why he was let go, or is it just because of losing money?
Thank you, John. No, I don't think so. And there's a few things I can tell you just in general when it comes to the radio industry. He was doing a show on Saturdays, so weekend shows are not nearly a driver of revenue for a radio station. Part of this, too, is I don't know anything about this radio station. KNUS is not a well-known station, so it's not like there's a lot of people that would go out there and they're probably getting the highest ad dollars in the market. This is probably a low-rated talk station in the market. So I can probably look this up. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Radio ratings. You know what? We'll go to break and I'll come back. And what I'll do is I'll look at the ratings for the station and give me an idea of where they sit. But no, advertisers that may perhaps be on his radio program on a Saturday, it's not like them saying, I don't want to advertise inside of that radio program would affect the station whatsoever. I don't think they would lose any revenue for something like that. Is it a thing that they're afraid that they'll upset Donald Trump in the White House? No, of course not. Local stations, weekend hosts and things have, it's not even close to the radar. So you can say they're on the same ball field. No, they're not even in the parking lot. They're not even in the same town. So it's not like even close to the radar of something that the White House would go out there and make a big deal. Like, well, we got to call that program director at that small station in Denver. Got to set them straight. No, that's not the case either. I'm going to guess there's other circumstances to all of this because the guy went on CNN and all he did was try to push what his content of the show was, as in, this is what the reasons I'm disgruntled with Donald Trump or whatever it is. And he had the opportunity to talk about the circumstances of what happened and why he was taken off the air. But instead, he tried to make it into like, here's my segment. Maybe someone else will hire me based on what my thoughts are. So there's some questions there. But good question, I think. I'm speculating, of course. I have no idea. No inside knowledge of what happened there. 314 800-936-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Man, okay, let's see what kind of shows they have on this. I tried to go and I can't find their radio station. Okay, so these are syndicated shows. They got a couple of local shows on during the day. KNUS in Denver. KNUS. And I'm going through the Denver, Colorado ratings. They're not on the ratings. They might not even get a 0.1 share, which they might not show up. If that's the case, they're so low rated, they don't register. Either that, there's one of two things, either that or they don't pay to get their station looked at. So I guess I don't know exactly how well listened the radio station is by estimates. But either way, Denver's a really big radio market. And that's for John who called in before the break. I said I'd look that up. Denver's larger than St. Louis as a radio market by a little bit. Radio markets are rated based on the overall general population in the metropolitan area. So St. Louis is like, I think, market number 23. And then Denver would be market number 18. So it's a little bit larger. And they have, it's a pretty big jump in population. Maybe a 250,000 more in maybe 400,000 more people. So pretty big jump. But either way, just based on what John, I told you I'd look that up during the break and I didn't see anything there. Now, the radio station disputes Craig Silverman's claim. His show was canceled over Trump's comments. He says he's welcome back on the airwaves, which to me seems like not true. And the reason why I think that's not true is because they took him off the website, and it's only after the backlash that that sort of thing happened. Would it be a risk to bring him back on? I guess you could. I don't think it's a radio publicity stunt by any means, but still, that's just interesting to see radio brought up in that way. In making national news. And a couple of other things here. Let's do this one. It says here, looking at the ratings. Ratings continue to drop. There's not a lot of people watching the impeachment. So you have, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They're doing the pregame, postgame. You know, people are really trying to analyze what's going on in these hearings. Part of which is trying to watch how many viewers there are out there. Outside of the regular news networks, there's not a lot that are watching traditionally on ABC, CBS, NBC. It's mostly CNN and not even them. It's Fox that's driving most viewerships. So altogether, they wanted to put this in a comparison. The verdict for O.J. Simpson drew 150 million viewers. And day two of all 6 networks, day two, 6 networks totaled 12.7 million viewers over 6 hours, the entire coverage. So really, you know, the ABC, and we made this point before, ABC was bragging about how many people watched The View when Donald Trump Jr. was on it. There were more people that watched ABC's The View in 1 hour than they did for ABC's entire hearings coverage. I think that they would have got probably more viewership if they would have just went to regular programming. But I think a part of it, too, is the decision of everyone's doing it, so I got to get into it, too. They're trying to make this into a historical event, like, oh, we're watching history. They're framing it that way as opposed to actually bringing up some of the motivations and the reasons of why they're doing it to begin with. I don't think they're giving a whole fair shake to it all. Here is Nancy Pelosi, by the way. This was from earlier today.
The president could come right before the committee and speak all the truth that he wants if he wants to take the oath of office, or he could do it in writing. He has every opportunity to present his case.
All right. So, you know, the interesting part of that is he could do it in writing. And you heard on CBS News at the top of the hour, he might actually do that. He might actually do it in writing, which seems like a fair thing for him to do. He might not. I don't know. The problem that we find with any time they do this, they're not doing it because they feel like this is going to help the investigation. They're just trying to play this game of chess in hopes that he messes up. That's all this is right now. They're not trying to discover truth. They're not trying to discover anything other than, can we just catch him in a mess up and can we nail him for it? Here is Mitch McConnell, by the way.
It looks to me like the House is determined to impeach the president. I can't imagine a scenario under which President Trump would be removed from office with 67 votes in the Senate. I don't know how long senators will want to continue the trial, but I'm pretty confident at the end, impeachment will not lead to ouster.
Yeah, seems pretty confident for that. Even Mitch McConnell continued.
Nothing is happening because House Democrats are seized with Trump derangement syndrome, are consumed with this argument with the president, which seems to me particularly ridiculous since we're going into the presidential election and the American people will have an opportunity in the very near future to decide who they want the next president to be. It displaces all other business. The Chief Justice of the United States is in the chair. Senators are not allowed to speak. They have to sit there and listen. And I'm not sure how long it will go on.
Yeah, we'll find out. It goes on as long as their political motivations can push it at this point. So there's that. A couple of clips from earlier today. I still can't get over last hour. I'm still thinking about Doug and Donna in here. They were so good at everything they did. They were sitting right there. They made it look so easy. I don't think I can do anything as easy as they make that look. Like, there's a couple of things I'm pretty good at. You know, I'm pretty good at radio, right? I don't make it look easy, though. They make it look easy. They just go. I can't stop thinking about last hour. I'm just so pumped up from it. Doug off air and I were talking about him and his sleep schedule, which is a weird thing. And he says he normally goes to bed about 2, 3 a.m. So he listens to Overnight America through the entire show. And he mentions this to me. And I said, you know, by the time I get off the air, I'm normally asleep by, you know, an hour. It takes me a little time to drive home, but I can lay down and fall asleep. And he says, wow, you know, after a performance, if I go out, I'm so pumped up. I'm so excited. Everything's going so well. It takes me a while to fall asleep. You know, sometimes it takes me longer. I'm like, that doesn't happen to me. You know, I just go home and I sleep. It's like, you know, once you clock out, you take your briefcase, you walk home and you forget about what you just said because you got a whole another day of putting another 4-hour show together. Tonight might be a little bit different. I might go home and I might not be able to sleep because I'm so pumped up. I'm so pumped up after the last hour. I want to play the song again. If they're driving, they might be in the car right now. Doug and Donna, if you're driving, here, you get to listen to your car. Let's play the Overnight in America theme song one more time.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people and I'm feeling all right. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
Ah, they're so good, so good. The full hour is online at KMOX.com/ONA. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Sounds like an old Nintendo song, doesn't it? Well, thanks for joining us on Overnight America. And we only have about 15 minutes. After midnight, we do the replay hour. So the midnight hour, you'll hear our friend Rich Rubino as we talk about the upcoming Democratic debates, which is this Wednesday. And who knew this was coming? No one. No one. Bueller. Hour number two. Honestly, I don't even remember. I was so pumped up. But we talked about, oh, yeah, microwaves. And Terry Jones, a guest in his new book, Disruption Off. We're going to get to that from 1 to 2 during that replay hour. There's a KSDK story, and it's funny because someone sent me a video, this viral video that was going around Facebook. There was a person by the name of Terrence Lambert charged after police saw and said he punched a firefighter on Friday evening. He's facing one misdemeanor charge after police said he punched two firefighters that were taking too long to put out the fire of his burning car. So he is 24 years old. And apparently, they said the man's car ended up on the sidewalk after a crash. It caught fire at the intersection of Shreve and Natural Bridge in North St. Louis. And after that, this is when the video started rolling. And this is really crazy. You can find this. I don't know what you search for. Someone actually sent me this on Facebook. So I was able to watch this. So the car's on fire. Fire department shows up. Cars, I mean, full blaze. I mean, there's no stopping this fire. You ever seen a dumpster fire and you show up and you're at this point, you're like, there's no way you're stopping this thing with what you got. It was one of those deals. You knew it would be 100% full loss of the vehicle. Well, the guy's pretty upset about this, and I think the fire department are just trying to contain this and control it so no one gets hurt. So he gets upset and apparently tries to start a fight. I think I should say allegedly because, you know, tries to start a fight with the firefighters. Now, this is when the video starts. And the firefighters have him restrained on the ground after he already tried this. And you hear the people yelling and screaming. Oh, there it is again. You know, these firefighters abusing and trying to beat up this poor innocent guy that just got into a car accident, Terrence Lambert. So they let him go. The firefighters, I think, are sympathetic because I'm sure he's got some emotions going on that his car is going up in flames. And who knows if he's insured? You know, St. Louis, who knows if he's insured? So the firefighters lit him up off the ground and say, get out of here. We're trying to work on this fire. And at this point, the guy turns around and runs and tries to take a swing at a firefighter. Now, he made a mistake because this one firefighter's built like a brick house, man. This guy shows up. The guy's an absolute tank. Tank. So the guy goes up, pretends he's going to square off with him. Terrence takes about a step closer. He goes low, grabs him in a bear hug, picks him up, and suplexes him backwards for trying to take another swing at these firefighters. What was he thinking? So police responded to the call, same location, after he punched a person in the face for taking too long to put out a fire. And you can hear the people. They realize the tables turned pretty quick. First it went, oh, there's someone harassing this guy on the side of the road. I can't believe they're harassing him. And then all of a sudden they see him get up and start taking swings at the firefighters. Now, I thought the firefighters had a pretty safe job. Most people leave firefighters alone. Police, on the other hand, they don't. You go into a tough neighborhood, police are, they got a target on their back. Firefighters, they think people are in ambulance drivers, for the most part, are pretty safe. Not always, but some most times. Let's see what we got here. Oh, yeah. This is kind of cool. Sir Elton John said he's going to be quitting his touring, and he announced what he's going to do when he retires from music. So he's decided that after he stops, and he's making another stop here in St. Louis before that happens, he's going to end at the end of 2021. So he still has about 2 years on the road. He said, you know, it takes a lot out of you. He's 72 years old. He does about 120 shows a year. He wants to be more normal. And when he quits, he's going to do gardening at his home. So he's pretty much got his idea of what's happening next. You know what I didn't realize about Elton John? Tell me if you realize this about him. He's bald, but he hates that he's bald, so he wears a toupee. Do you know Elton John is bald? I had no idea. He said that and joked about it in an interview he did over in the UK. I forgot what show it was, if it was Graham Norton, but he always seems to have some pretty... Yep, Graham Norton. He's one of the world-class interviewers, that Graham Norton. So there it is. Elton John's bald, and when he's done touring, he's going to be gardening. I like Elton John, the interviews he's done after his book came out, his autobiography, and even some of the interviews after his movie came out, he's one of those old school performers that just kind of gets it. You don't see that a lot with the younger. It's really hard to pinpoint, explain what it is. I think he has a certain respect for the process and what it takes to prove yourself. A lot of times you find these younger performers, they got the American Idol mentality, which is, I'm going to be a superstar overnight and everyone better treat me like that. I think he has a certain respect for the process. And I also think he has a certain respect for just common sense. I don't think he tries to jump on with the PC crowd as fast as you can possibly get onto a certain topic, no matter what the circumstances may be. As long as the mob's screaming the loudest, they're going to be on that side. And he doesn't fall for that, and which is good for him. And I think more people need to be able to think for themselves. And not everyone does that in the celebrity world. I think they're too afraid of what their fellow celebrities or Hollywood may say, or maybe the pressures that would be put on to them afterwards, and they think it's just better either to stay quiet or say nothing at all. In some cases, people go out, and they're a little bit stronger in their views. Talking about things to do after retirement, there's a woman by the name of Ruth, and she is someone that's pretty amazing. Over in the Boston area, they did a profile on her. This is CBS Boston. Let me play a part of this. WBZ.
You've got to have something to look forward to. That is the secret.
You have to have something to look forward to. That is the secret to longevity in life. Now, John looks forward to gardening, not music, but gardening. And what's her thing?
Down.
If this doesn't get you into the gym, nothing will.
Oh.
Ruth Kunzen always looks forward to her workout at the YMCA in Quincy.
Oh, it's the workout. You got to have something to look forward to, something to work on. The workout. That's good for her. She found that thing.
Oh, I love to come here. I like it because not only do you do exercise, but you meet people.
Ruth was born in 1916.
1916. You want to guess how old Ruth is by doing some quick math? 103 years young. And they show this video on WBZ. She does not look 103. Most women lie about their age when they get up there. They say, oh, no, I'm not 103. They push it back because they don't want to be. I think she's adding years onto it. She looks so good. If she's really 103, she looks great for 103. And now she works with a personal trainer, and she also loves to go out there and talk to other people while she's training. And what a beautiful soul she has. Ruth Kunzen.
I'll do the quick math for you. That makes her 103. She didn't retire until she was 81.
Wow.
After a long career.
In a long career of radio. Retires at the age of 81.
Career as a microbiologist.
Oh, microbiologist. I thought they paid a lot better. I guess. No, she got to keep busy. That's the thing. Find something you love and keep doing it. Some people go out there and they say the key to the longevity of life is eggs and bacon every morning. And then, drinking and smoking all night. And some people, I guess, that works for. It's just sometimes it's in your DNA. It's in your genes if you live long or not. That does it for us here at Overnight America at Ryan Recker on Twitter. Last hour, I am, again, just riding the high of Doug and Donna. They did such a fantastic job with the Overnight America theme song. Go back and listen to it by going to KMOX.com/ONA or find us wherever you listen to your podcasts. Apple or your iPhone, your Android phone, wherever it is, go back and listen to the last hour. It was fantastic. I hope to see you again tomorrow night starting at 8 o'clock. The replay hour is coming up. We will see you tomorrow. Have a good night.
My heart beats with the lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on.
Take the risk.
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.